My bayonet drips with blood. In the muffled silence after the firefight, I stare at the crimson droplets pattering onto the scorched ground. They're not from an enemy. Emperor, forgive me. They're from my own commanding officer. A year ago, I would have been horrified. I would have pressed a gun to the head of anyone who suggested I could do something like this. But a year ago, I was a different man. I was a loyal soldier of the Astra Militarum, proud to bleed and die for the Golden Throne and for Cadia. Back then, I believed in things like honor, duty, and the Emperor's light. Now, look at me. Standing over the cooling body of a man I once followed without question. His eyes are still widened in shock, as if even in death he's asking me why. Good question, sir. Wish I had an answer that made sense. Maybe it was your stupid order to fall back when we had the heretics on the run. Maybe it was the way you looked at me like I was some kind of monster after I butchered those cultists. Or maybe... maybe it was just the blood. There's a lot of blood here. Some of it's mine, most of it's theirs, and plenty of it now yours. I can still taste the copper tang of it in the air, feel it sticky on my armor. Funny thing is, a part of me, one that's getting harder to ignore, wants more. One more swing, one more thrust, one more screaming enemy silenced. I know how this looks. To you, to any sane person, I'm a traitor, a madman, a heretic. Hell, the Commissar would have shot me on the spot if he weren't lying decapitated in that trench over there. I took care of him first. The thought almost makes me laugh. The old me would have been appalled. The new me? He's just surprised at how easy it was. But I'm getting ahead of myself, aren't I? You don't just wake up one day and decide, hey, let's betray everything I ever stood for and start collecting heads. No, it's a slow slide, carving cracks in your soul that you don't notice until you shatter. And Emperor, help me, I shattered. So how does a proud Cadian guardsman go from shouting, Cadia stands, to whispering, blood for the blood god, under his breath? Pull up a sandbag, soldier. This is my story. Just try not to judge me until you've heard the whole thing. It started, I suppose, on Cadia. Everything starts on Cadia for folks like me. Born on that fortress world under a cold violet sky, I learned to shoot before I learned to read. Every Cadian does. We grow up hearing the roar of las guns on the firing ranges, reciting the Canticle of Absolution in our sleep, and dreaming of the day we'd stand in the Kasser city trenches, holding the line against the next Black Crusade. And I was proud to do it. Thrilled, even, Emperor knows, I was a good little guardsman. By the time Abaddon's 13th Black Crusade came ripping out of the Eye of Terror, I had earned my place in the Cadian 99th Regiment. We were deployed at Kasser Holm when the first waves hit. Chaos, Space Marines, traitor guard, heretics screaming praise to dark gods. It was the nightmare we'd trained for all our lives, and we stood our ground. By the throne, we did more than that. We fought like hell. For every heretic that breached our walls, we sent 10 back in body bags. We chanted, Cadia stands, even as the sky turned blood red with the fires of orbital bombardment. Even as the ground quaked from the orbital debris raining down. Even as the screams of demons started echoing across the battlements. I remember the moment I saw my first demon. Up close, I mean. Sure, the Schola taught us about them. Showed us grainy pics of blood letters and worse and said, if you ever see one, pray and then pull the trigger. But nothing prepares you for the real thing. It leapt over a barricade like a crimson blur, 8 feet of corded muscle, horned and fanged, eyes burning with hunger. A bloodletter of Khorne, the blood god's foot soldier. Its claws dripped with gore from the poor bastard next to me. It had eviscerated in one swipe. The stench of brass and blood hit me like a punch. I swear it grinned at me. I was terrified. Who wouldn't be? But training kicked in. I emptied my whole last gun power pack into that thing as it charged, searing holes stitched across its demonic flesh. But it kept coming, snarling with a voice that sounded like 100 angered souls howling at once. We crashed together. It knocked me on my back, strength unbelievable, and I felt its blade tear into my shoulder. Thrown, it was like being kissed by an ice-cold chainsword. Agony flared through my body. Its face was inches from mine, spattering hot saliva, or maybe blood, onto my visor as it roared. That was it. I thought I was dead. But I wasn't. By some miracle, or maybe just sheer Kadian stubbornness, I rammed my bayonet up under its ribcage while it was howling in my face. The point went in, and Emperor be praised, the damn thing actually staggered. It howled, this time in pain. I shoved it off me and kept stabbing, screaming as if louder volume would make the strikes hit harder. Black ichor, demon blood, splashed everywhere, burning like acid where it hit exposed skin. Finally, the monstrosity slumped, dissolving into oily smoke. I had killed it. I scrambled up, dazed and shaking. My shoulder was a mess of blood. That demonic sword left a nasty gash. But I was alive, and the bloodletter was gone back to whatever hell it spawned from. The medicae slapped a field dressing on me and a shot of stim, and I was back on the firing step before the adrenaline wore off. There was no time to think. Another wave was coming. Days, or was it weeks, blurred together in constant battle after that. We ate cold ration bars in the trenches while exchanging last fire with traitor guardsmen who shouted blasphemies across the no man's land. We slept in 20-minute snatches to the lullaby of artillery thuds. Every hour brought another assault, mutants scrambling at our wire, armored chaos marines in baroque spikes, and skulls crashing against our lines, cultists howling for blood as they threw themselves at us like lunatics. The air stank of promethium, burned flesh, and ozone from constant lust discharge. I lost count of how many friends I watched die. Jenkins, Adar, Fell, Mikkels. Names I'll never forget, faces I still see when I close my eyes. They fought and bled and died with las guns empty and bayonets broken in their hands. And every time one fell, my hatred for the enemy burned hotter. I would grip my weapon so hard my knuckles turned white, swearing through tears and grit that I'd kill twice as many of the bastards to avenge each fallen friend. And we did kill them. Emperor, we piled heretic bodies high. But for every one we put down, two more seemed to take their place. This was not like any war we'd fought before. Kadia had seen off 12 Black Crusades over the millennia. But number 13, this one was different. The enemy wasn't just at the gates. They were coming from beneath our feet, above our heads, from thin air. Warp rifts were opening inside our own perimeter, vomiting forth gibbering demons right into our foxholes. Our flanks were crumbling. Communications were snarled by chaotic interference. Still, we fought on. Kadia stands, we shouted, even as our voices grew ragged and our ammo ran low. I remember at one point, near the end, leaning against the shattered wreck of a Lehman Russ tank, my body exhausted beyond measure. My shoulder wound throbbed despite the coagulants. A spider web of black veins spreading from where the bloodletter's blade had struck, as if the corruption of its weapon had seeped into me. At the time, I figured it was just infection or warp residue. I slapped a fresh bandage on and tried not to think about it. I looked up at the sky. There was a crack in the heavens, a great tear of sickly light where reality itself was sundered. The Eye of Terror loomed huge and malignant above, closer than I'd ever seen it, pouring its hatred directly into our world. It felt like the sky was bleeding chaos. My heart sank at the sight, but I clenched my teeth and forced myself up. If this was Doomsday, I would meet it standing, firing, screaming defiance until the last. By the time the order to evacuate came, Cadia was literally breaking apart. The crust of the planet was splitting after some catastrophic impact across the horizon. I later learned Abaddon crashed a Blackstone fortress into the planet, but in the moment I just felt the ground buck and saw fire on the horizon. Our superiors finally uttered the words we thought we'd never hear. Fall back, get to the transports. Fall back? Cadia doesn't fall back. Cadia stands. We all heard the order crackle over the Vox net, and for a second, none of us moved, stunned. Then another tectonic jolt nearly tossed us off our feet, and we knew it was over. Our beautiful, unyielding Cadia was dying under us. I didn't want to go. None of us did. Some troopers outright refused until their officers slapped sense into them, or commissars executed a few to make an example. Me? I just felt empty, numb. Somehow, I hauled myself into one of the last Valkyrie flyers out with a handful of other survivors. Through the viewport, I watched the Kasser city I'd spent my life defending collapse into rubble, great gouts of warp fire and debris spewing into the sky. I remember a Cadian colonel, his face bloodied, uniform in tatters, bellowing, "Cadia stands!" one last time as we lifted off. A lie or a prayer, it was hard to tell. Our evacuation ships broke atmosphere just as the planet finally gave up the ghost. I caught a final glimpse of Cadia from orbit, a shattered sphere, molten scars where continents used to be, breaking into pieces as unreality consumed it. Cadia had fallen. The thought hit me like a last bolt to the gut. Cadia, the world that stood against hell itself, was gone, and somehow I was still alive. They shipped what's left of us Cadians to an Imperial staging point at Bellis Corona. I remember shuffling off the transport in a daze, under a sky that wasn't violet like Cadia's, onto a tarmac crawling with medikis and munition servitors. Someone thrust a cup of recaf in my hand. I drank it without tasting. Everything was a blur of grief and exhaustion. I think an Inquisitor came by at one point to address the survivors. Tall, grim figure in a hooded cloak, flanked by black-armored stormtroopers. He told us we were heroes of the Imperium, that Cadia's sacrifice had meaning, that our duty was not done. Standard morale-boosting lies. We stared back in stony silence. What could we say? Cadia stands was a bitter joke now. Cadia was gone, and with it, a piece of our souls. They screened us for corruption too, of course, stripped us to our skivvies, checked for mutations, warp taint, any sign that chaos had left its mark. A few unlucky sods who were too close to the eye when it opened had eyes that glowed warp green or flesh that wouldn't stop twitching. Those ones were quietly led away and never seen again. The rest of us got a fresh new regimental patch, 89th Provisional Battalion, as if a new number could wash away the stain of defeat, and were sent right back to war. There was no time to mourn. The Cicatrix Maledictum, the Great Rift, had torn the galaxy in half, and every able body was needed to stem the bleeding. Part of me wanted to die back there on Cadia with my friends. But another part burned with a different fire, a rage that kept me warm when hope was cold. I wanted revenge. No, I needed it. I wanted to make every servant of Chaos pay a thousandfold for every life they took on Cadia. When I closed my eyes at night, I didn't see my family's faces or my home. I saw that endless tide of heretics and demons laughing as they destroyed everything I loved. I swore by the Emperor's throne that I would not rest until I had my vengeance on all of them. Be careful what you wish for, right? They threw us into one meat grinder after another. Some campaign in the Netherrest sector against a Chaos warband, calling themselves the Skull Takers. Real original name, guys. Then a deployment to an agri world overrun by cultists worshipping some warp-spawned god of slaughter, which, though I didn't know it yet, was Khorne by another name. Battle after battle, I fought like a man possessed. Honestly, I think I was. Not by a demon, not yet, but by the white-hot fury in my gut. I started volunteering for every charge, every breaching team, every forlorn hope assault. It didn't matter how suicidal. I just wanted to be in the thick of it, where I could put a las bolt or a bayonet into the enemy up close and make it personal. My commanders saw it as bravery at first. Hell, some of them praised my zeal. If only they knew the truth. It wasn't zeal, it was hatred, pure and simple. And something else, enjoyment. I didn't want to admit it, not then, but some sick part of me actually enjoyed the killing. In those moments, hacking apart a traitor with my combat knife, or feeling the recoil of my rifle as a heretic's chest exploded. I felt alive, more alive than I'd felt since Cadia. The others in my unit started to notice. I caught them giving me nervous looks after battles. I was usually drenched in blood, often not mine, and grinning like a lunatic while everyone else was just relieved to survive. My reputation spread. They started calling me Red, half jokingly, half afraid, because my armor was always spattered red by day's end. One night, after a brutal urban firefight clearing a cultist-infested hab block, a comrade found me still in the ruins long after the shooting stopped. I was crouched over a corpse, methodically plunging my knife into it again and again. The fight was over, but I hadn't stopped. Emperor, forgive me, I was mutilating a dead cultist, just lost in the fury. Sergeant Garon, one of the few fellows I considered a friend, pulled me off and shouted, "Stop! It's done! He's dead!" I nearly took a swing at Garon before I realized where I was. The look on his face, it wasn't just shock, it was pity. Maybe even fear. I laughed it off, made some joke like, "Just making sure, Sarge." Garon didn't laugh. He just slowly backed away and left me there. That was the last time I remember someone approaching me personally after a battle. From then on, the others kept their distance. The only ones who came close were the priests or commissars spouting about faith and purity, perhaps sensing something amiss in my soul. I tried. I really did try to keep a lid on it at first. I'd whisper the litany of temperance to myself when I felt the rage rising. I'd finger the Aquila pendant under my flak armor and think of the Emperor, of Cadia, of why I had to stay faithful. But it was like trying to plug a volcano with a cork. Inevitably, I'd find myself back in the blood and madness, and all those high ideals would vanish in a red haze. The commissar attached to our regiment, one Commissar Holt, started paying me special attention. I could feel his beady gaze on the back of my head whenever the platoon mustered. Holt was young for a commissar, eager to prove himself, and rumor was he'd executed two troopers last month for cowardice. One had merely questioned a suicidal order. So I knew I was skating on thin ice. If Holt even suspected I harbored impure thoughts, he'd put a bolt round in my skull without blinking. Surprisingly, he didn't. Perhaps because outwardly I was the opposite of a coward, quite the contrary. If anything, Holt occasionally commended my ferocity, though it came with a concerned frown. He'd pull me aside after an engagement and lecture me about restraint, about not letting rage override discipline. "Rage is a tool, guardsman, not a master," he said to me once. "The Emperor requires your obedience, not your fury." I nodded dutifully, but inside I resented it. What did he know? He hadn't watched demons butcher his friends. He hadn't felt true fury. And obeying the Emperor hadn't saved Cadia or avenged it. My rage was all I had left, and I'd be damned if I let him or anyone take that from me. Soon enough, my disobedience caught up with me. It was on Seraven Thieve, I think. A scorching desert moon where our company was flushing out a fortified cultist outpost. The cultists were Cornates, though I only pieced that together later. They fought like rabid dogs, charging our guns with chain axes and roaring praise to the Blood God with every breath. We had them on the back foot after a long day of trench fighting. By dusk, my squad managed to break into their bunker complex. It was a charnel house inside bodies, blood, symbols painted in gore on the walls. The few cultists left were making a desperate last stand, and we were ordered to push in and finish them. I led the charge. We smashed into their command chamber where their leader, a scarred giant of a man in spiked armor, was bellowing some dark prayer. He came at us, swinging a massive chain axe. In the cramped space, he cleaved two of my squad mates into gristle before I even engaged him. I remember our Vox officer screaming for backup as I fought the brute hand to hand. My last gun knocked away, just my bayonet and raw fury against his whirring ass. Thrown, he was strong. My parries were shattered one by one, and he was laughing, shouting, "Skulls for Horn!" with every blow. Something in me snapped. The mention of that name, Horn, and maybe the blood painting every inch of that room. I tapped into a well of savagery deeper than I knew existed. I sidestepped a swing that would have taken my head off, and somehow managed to drive my bayonet into the side of the cultist leader's neck, finding a gap in his armor. He gurgled and went down. I pounced on him, ripping the axe from his hands and bringing it down on his skull over and over until there was nothing left but pulp. By the time the red mist cleared, the fight was over. The cultist champion was dead by my hands, his followers either slain or surrendering. I was drenched head to toe in gore, standing amidst the carnage like some feral beast. And Emperor help me, I was smiling. That's when I noticed the rest of my unit standing in the doorway, staring at me. Reinforcements had arrived just in time to witness my little performance. I suppose I must have looked terrifying. Even my fellow guardsmen seemed unsure whether I was one of them anymore, or one of the monsters. The few surviving cultists, those too wounded to fight, had stopped struggling and were watching me with something like awe in their eyes. Then Commissar Holt pushed to the front of our group, his bolt pistol drawn. He took in the scene. The butchered corpses, me with that massive chain axe in my hands, panting like an animal. I could see the revulsion and suspicion in his face. I had stepped well beyond the bounds of mere zeal. Holt's sense of duty would allow nothing else. "Guardsmen, drop the weapon," he ordered, voice icy. "Step away from the bodies." I stood there, chest heaving, adrenaline still thundering in my ears. "Drop the weapon?" The chain axe's teeth were still spinning, blood flying off in droplets. It felt so right in my hands, so satisfying. I didn't want to let it go. And why should I? So it could be locked up like me, back in the cage of discipline and futile sacrifice. Behind Holt, my captain, a veteran Cadian named Thele, looked at me with a mix of sorrow and dread. He had been with us on Cadia. He knew my pain. "Trooper, listen to the Commissar," Captain Thale urged, lowering his last gun slightly as if trying to de-escalate. "It's over. The enemy is defeated. Stand down. That's an order." An order. Fall back. Stand down. More orders to deny me my vengeance, to leash my wrath now that I had finally gotten a taste of real retribution. I felt a hot flush of anger surge again. My grip tightened on the axe handle. I glanced at the fallen cultist leader at my feet, his ruined skull grinning up at me. and something inside me snarled. Why stop now? Why ever stop? Holt must have seen the defiance in my eyes, his own hardened. He raised the bolt pistol toward my head. By the authority of the God Emperor, he began, the formal preamble to an execution sentence. He never finished. I roared and charged him in mid-sentence. The chain axe came down with all the strength and fury left in me. Holt was quick. He managed a shot, but in his haste it went wide, detonating against the far wall. Then the axe hit him. It chewed through his ornate chest plate and into his torso in a burst of blood. The commissar gasped, a look of utter shock on his face, as I wrenched the blade free in a spray of red. He toppled, bisected from shoulder to hip. For a heartbeat, no one moved. I heard someone shout, felt last gun rounds whip past me. Captain Thale was fumbling for his sidearm with trembling hands, disbelief etched on his face. I'm sure he was trying to scream something, maybe my name, maybe traitor, but I couldn't hear over the rushing blood in my ears. I turned on him, still running on pure instinct and wrath. The chain axe was howling its death song. I swung it in a wide arc. Daly's head leapt from his shoulders in a fountain of gore before he could even fire a shot. And just like that, it was done. My commissar, my commanding officer, both dead by my hand. In the span of a few mad seconds, I had crossed the final line. The surviving guardsmen outside the chamber cried out in alarm and confusion. I think some charged in to stop me, others backed away in fear. For my part, I just stood there over the bodies, chest heaving, mind utterly blank. Part of me expected the Emperor's lightning to strike me down on the spot for what I'd done. Instead, a different thunder came. From the far side of the bunker chamber, the bulkhead door burst open, revealing a flood of new enemies. Reinforcements of the cultist warband had arrived, perhaps drawn by the sounds of our fight. A dozen or more frenzied zealots, and at their head, towering in brazen armor, was an Astartes, a Chaos Space Marine. His armor was the color of old blood, marked with the skull rune of Khorne. A chain axe revved in one of his hands, a bolt pistol in the other. Here, it seemed, was the real leader of the Skull Takers, come to claim his due. My fellow guardsmen, already rattled by my betrayal, stood no chance. The traitor Marine and his followers tore into them with murderous glee. I heard screams, gunfire, the wet sounds of blades in flesh. I just watched, numb. I should have fought, should have helped my comrades, or at least tried to avenge them. But I didn't. Maybe I reasoned I couldn't possibly fight alongside them now. They would probably shoot me in the back. Maybe I was simply exhausted or in shock at my own actions. Or maybe, deep down, I knew I had more in common with the howling madmen charging in than the soldiers I used to call brothers. The melee ended as quickly as it began. The chamber that had already seen so much bloodshed that day became a slaughterhouse. The last thing I remember was that Chaos Space Marine, stalking through the smoke and flickering lumen strips, stepping over corpses until he loomed right in front of me. I was still standing there like a statue, chain axe in my hands, drenched in red. We locked eyes, mine wild and bloodshot, his glowing behind a horned helmet. He let out a rasping laugh, whether in amusement or approval I couldn't tell. Then he spoke, voice like metal ground to dust. You have the scent of fury about you, little one, he growled. Slaying your own? Perhaps Khorne has a place for you after all. I was too stunned to reply and too far gone to feel fear. I just stared up at this giant of death, my hands shaking on the axe haft. Behind him, his cultists were already gathering, some dragging wounded or looting bodies. To my surprise, none of them moved to kill me. They stood there, weapons sticky with the blood of my comrades, and they watched me, some with curiosity, others with what looked oddly like respect. I glanced down at the chain axe in my grip, the same one I'd ripped from their fallen champion moments before I killed the Commissar. Its teeth glinted with gore. The blood trickling from it was indistinguishable from the blood on my hands, on my armor. Friend or foe, it all looked the same. In that moment, something inside me broke completely. Or perhaps finally came together in a horrible way. The war, Kadia, the hatred, the killing, the betrayal. It all led to this. I could never go back to the Imperial Guard. I had no brothers left alive here except those I'd once called enemy. And as for being an enemy, well, I'd become exactly what they feared, hadn't I? The towering Chaos Marine tilted his head, awaiting my answer. I knew what he was offering. A way out, or a way further in, depending how you saw it. Join them, embrace the Blood God, and I could keep fighting, keep killing. Without the leash, without someone like Holt threatening to put me down. If I refused, they'd surely execute me on the spot. Or worse. I wish I could say I agonized over the decision, that I thought of the Emperor, of honor and oaths, of right and wrong. But the truth is, in that instant, all I felt was a twisted sense of relief. Like stepping through a door that had been ajar in my soul for a long time, I let the chain axe in my hand spin up again, its motor growling. Then I slowly knelt, laid it at the Chaos Marine's feet, and bowed my head. My voice came out hoarse and low. Blood for the Blood God. It wasn't eloquent, but it was answer enough. The champion's laughter boomed through the chamber. He clamped a heavy gauntlet on my shoulder, almost affectionately, and barked to his men. See, even the Corpse Emperor's whelps know the true path when they taste real power. Horn claims this soul. Thus ended the guardsmen of Kadia, and something else was born in his place. From that day forward, I was no longer a soldier of the Imperium. I became a warrior of Khorne, a renegade, a traitor. Choose your label. All I know is, I felt more at home among those blood-crazed heretics than I ever did in the aftermath of Kadia's fall. They gave me back my old chain axe, the one I'd laid at the champion's feet, as a sign of trust or amusement. The Chaos Space Marine who had taken me under his wing went by the name of Raskar, a champion of the World Eater's Legion. Raskar was a towering brute who spoke mostly in snarls and laughter, but he was true to his word in a twisted way. Under his command, the Skulltaker's warband accepted me as one of their own, albeit at the bottom of the pecking order. I didn't mind. I'd traded a life of taking orders from one kind of monster for following a different kind, but at least these ones understood the value of raw rage. My initiation was baptism by blood, literally. That very night, under the light of a burning pyre, we heaped up the skulls of the fallen, including those of Commissar Holt and Captain Thale, as offerings. I tore the dog tags from their necks and tossed them into the fire, a final farewell to my old life. Then, at Raskar's beckoning, I did what any Khornaught devotee would. I took my captain's severed head, held it high, and bellowed, "Skulls for the Skull Throne," before placing it atop the pile. I won't lie, a part of me felt sick doing it. Captain Thale had been a good man fighting for a just cause, but that part of me was drowned in the roar of approval from the warband as I completed the ritual. In that moment, I wasn't a masquerading guardsman anymore. I was one of them. We didn't waste time on long ceremonies or dark pacts. Those are for Tsienchian covens or Slaanishi cults with their pomp and indulgence. For us, worship was simple. We spilled blood and we shouted Khorne's name. That was prayer enough. In the days that followed, I rode with the Skulltakers as they swept onward to new battles. We left Saravan 5 in flames and moved through the sector like a pack of hungry predators. I fought side by side with the same lunatics I'd been trying to kill a week prior, and found strange camaraderie in it. In the guard, I'd been part of a disciplined machine, always watching my step lest I draw a commissar's ire. In the warband, there was anarchy but also a brutal honesty. You didn't fight because someone ordered you to or because a book said you should. You fought because you wanted to, needed to, and if you didn't pull your weight, you'd likely end up as a sacrifice at day's end. Motivation enough, I suppose. We hit an Imperial field hospital next. The irony wasn't lost on me. The same sort of Medicae outpost that patched me up after Cadia. Now I was tearing through it with chain axe and fury. We slaughtered the garrison to the last man and set the tents ablaze. I remember cornering an Adeptus Ministorum priest who'd been tending the wounded. He raised his Aquila symbol and tried to banish me like I was some demon. I smashed his face in with the butt of my weapon. Perhaps the Emperor heard his last prayer. Perhaps not. I didn't much care by then. It was around then that I started noticing changes in myself, not just the ease with which I could commit atrocities that would have made me wretch before, that was obvious. No, I mean physical changes. The wound on my shoulder from that bloodletter back on Cadia, which had never fully stopped aching, suddenly closed up for good. The black, veiny corruption under the scar bloomed into a mark, a jagged, roughly skull-shaped brand on my flesh. On some level, I knew what it was, the mark of Khorne. One of the cultists, an old berserker missing half his teeth, cackled when he saw it and clapped me on the back. "Khorne's mark is on ye, boy," he rasped. "Blood gods watching now. Better keep him entertained, eh?" He was right. I could feel it in my blood, a restless fire that never fully dimmed. I stopped feeling fear entirely. Why fear death when every battle frenzy felt like a glorious high, a communion with something greater? I also stopped feeling much pain. In one skirmish, an Imperial sniper put a las bolt clean through my thigh. I barely even limped until after the fight, too fueled by rage to notice. Only later did I realize I should have been crippled. The medics in the warband, more like half-crazed flesh sewers, stapled the wound shut, and I carried on, hardly worse for wear. Khorne was rewarding me in his own brutal fashion, strength, resilience, unbridled wrath. Of course, these gifts came with a price. The more I gave myself to the rage, the harder it was to think clearly about anything else. Memories of Cadia, of my family, of comrades lost. Those used to haunt me, but now they barely flicker in the distance of my mind. It's as if Khorne reached in and scooped out all those pesky bits of guilt and sorrow and left only raw hate behind. I'm not sure I missed the guilt. I started having dreams, or maybe visions, of a throne of brass atop a mountain of skulls. At its feet, red rivers flowed, and I swam in them happily. I would wake from these dreams laughing or screaming or both. One of the other cultists told me I was blessed by the blood god to receive such clarity. Maybe he was just messing with me. Hard to tell with these guys, since half of them are insane by any normal standard. But then, so was I. One day, perhaps a month into my new life, time gets slippery when all you know is war, Raskar decided to test me. We were camped in the ruins of an administratum outpost we'd raided, roasting some emperor-forsaken livestock over a fire when he called me out in front of the others. He wanted to see if the mortal had real horn-given strength, or if I was still just a fragile human playing at being a berserker. Frankly, I think he was just bored and wanted entertainment. He threw me a chainsword and pointed at Brule, one of his berserkers, a massive scarred man who might have had ogryn blood in him. Blood trial, Raskar growled. The rules were simple. Fight until one of us was dead or couldn't fight. A circle of jeering warriors formed around us. I remember spitting blood, not sure whose, and thinking that either I'd earn my place right now, or I'd be another corpse on the pile. Brule charged with a roar, and we collided in an orgy of slashes and punches. He was stronger, but I was faster and utterly unhinged. In that duel, I let go of any lingering restraint. I gave myself fully to the bloodlust, letting it guide my strikes. I don't recall all the details, just flashes. Ducking under a wild swing, tearing off his helmet to headbutt his nose flat, taking a nasty cut across my arm and not caring. In the end, I was the one who walked away. Brule lay on the ground, alive but missing the hand I'd lopped off, and with a dozen other wounds besides. I was about to finish him, frenzy still pounding in my skull. But Raskar stopped me with a raised gauntlet. "Enough," he ordered. By cornate custom, I had proved my point. No need to waste a good fighter if he could heal up. Raskar's ugly metal visage turned toward me, and I swear I could hear a grin in his distorted voice. "You fight well, little one. Horn smiles on you." That was the closest thing to praise I've ever needed. From then on, I was respected as a true cornate warrior in the band, not just a tag-along traitor guardsman. They started calling me by a new name. I won't repeat it here, it's an ugly concatenation of syllables in the dark tongue, meaning something like throat taker. Charming, I know, but I wore it proudly. We kept moving, kept killing. No longer in the name of any Imperium or ideology, but for the sheer ecstasy of it, for the favor of our Crimson God. We clashed with Loyalist forces numerous times, PDF militias, other Guard regiments, even Astartes once, though thankfully just a few of them. We lost half our number in that fight, but still dragged down two of the Emperor's angels in a torrent of axes and chain blades. With each battle, I felt closer to whatever destiny Khorne had in store. Or maybe I just stopped caring about anything except the slaughter. Occasionally, in quiet moments between fights, rare as those were, I'd experience a strange lucidity. I'd look at my blood-stained hands, at the cracked fragment of my old Cadian dog tag I still carried, and I'd ask myself, "What the hell have I become?" But those moments never lasted. The next battle always came, and with it the comforting madness. Any doubts or reminiscence drowned in screams and blood. I think the last shred of my old self truly died during a raid on an Imperial refugee convoy. Civilians, families fleeing the war zone, hoping for evac to a safer world. They weren't our initial target. We were after the armed escort. But when those poor souls ran, screaming in the crossfire, well, remember, Khorne cares not from whence the blood flows. My fellow berserkers started cutting down anything that moved, and I did the same. Men, women, the old, the unarmed, it made no difference in the haze of battle lust. After the frenzy, I found myself standing over the bodies of a mother and her teenage son, both hacked apart. In the boy's dead hand was a little Cadian keepsake flag. Emperor knows where they got it. That was the only time I hesitated. For just a second, something inside me recoiled. Cadia. Innocence. This wasn't war. This was butchery. Do you know what I did? I crushed that little flag under my boot and walked away. Whatever line I thought still existed, I'd long crossed it. There was no going back, not ever. By the time you reach this depth of damnation, you stop pretending there's a way out. The only path is forward, into more carnage, until eventually you'll meet someone stronger or crazier who will take your head. And honestly, I'm fine with that. Better to burn out in a blaze of glory than whimper in regret. You might think I'm a monster. You'd be right. But remember, I didn't become this overnight. It was a journey of many steps, each one a little more soaked in blood than the last. A bitter mix of betrayal, desperation, and wrath led me here. The corruption of Khorne doesn't whisper lies in your ear. It doesn't need to. It just takes your anger and feeds it, stroke by stroke, kill by kill, until that anger is all you are. The Imperial scholars and preachers will tell you, chaos corruption is a poison or a seduction. For me, it was more like a liberation, at least at first. I was freed from fear, from doubt, from grief. But in exchange, I chained myself to rage, a trade of one master for another. The difference is this new master doesn't pretend to love me. Khorne doesn't care about me at all, only the skulls I take and the blood I spill in his name. And that, strangely, that honesty is refreshing. I know how twisted that sounds, but after everything, maybe twisted is all I can be. So now you know, that proud Qadian guardsman is dead and gone. In his place stands a creature of blood and hate, exultant atop a pile of skulls, and chuckling at the folly of my former convictions. This is how Khorne corrupts. Not with honeyed promises, but with blood and battle, with the darkest parts of ourselves given free rein. A journey from duty to damnation, one kill at a time. Blood for the blood god, skulls for the skull throne. That's my credo now, until the day I finally fall. And if you ever find yourself across the trench from someone like me, maybe now you'll understand why. Not that it will save you. Nothing will. Blood for the blood god.